Now, where did I put my liquid refreshments? Oh, there it is. Here I go again, talking to myself with no one else in this dressing room. So, what's new? Everybody loves somebody sometime. Oh, everybody falls in love somehow. You know, that's one song I don't need cue cards for in order to sing it. No, matter of fact, I'm ready to get this show on the road. Really? Are you on the road again? On the road again. I just can't wait to get back on the road again.
Mr. Barton, 30 seconds.
Okay, thank you, Arthur.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Zolke, welcoming you to the WGTD Radio Theater's annual holiday extravaganza with our very special guest star, Mr. Dean Martin. We once again come to you live from Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, Wisconsin, in this our 124th show in our 15th season. Our stars today are from the 91.1 Players, and we welcome back to the stage Mr. Joey Van Hulley, a man of many singing voices. Actually, he's been called a man who hasn't been himself lately.
Art Dexter here, and I'll be sharing announcing duties this morning with Kathy. And today's script was written by Steve Brown and Mike Alstrup, and our director is Renee Bouchel. Our live music today is from Bill McGee's Little Big Band, and also the Dixie Dudes. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, and McTurden, the Brown Alstrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem Lakes, Wisconsin, and finally, from Lake Lawn Resort, your vacation getaway, located right here in Delavan, Wisconsin.
A longtime feature on our holiday show has been Stan Freeberg's great parody of the Jack Webb hit TV series, Dragnet. It's called A Christmas Dragnet, and it goes a little something like this.
My name's Wednesday, Joe Wednesday. My partner's name is Frank Jones. The chief's name is Captain Kellogg. December 24th, Christmas Eve, they brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 4096235-096704. Not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m., I was working the holiday shift out of the homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I came down. You too, Frank?
Always do. Hung it up early, just in case I have to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out on when Santa Claus comes, you know.
Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you gonna do tomorrow, Joe? What you gonna do on Christmas? Got any plans?
Nothing much.
Why don't you come to the house, Joe? We're gonna have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings. Turkey, celery stuffing, oysters maybe, chestnuts, all the trimmings, you know. Cranberry sauce, love to have you. The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Did you ever notice that, Joe?
Notice what, Frank?
You know, how most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions?
Uh-huh, scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions.
Uh-huh. Let's not go through that again.
Go through what, Joe?
How many people call them green onions and they're actually scallions?
Oh, you noticed that too, huh, Joe?
Homicide Wednesday. Uh-huh. 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 Uh-huh.
What's the matter, Joe? What's the matter, Joe?
Bringing in a guy on a 4096235-096704. Guy doesn't believe in scallions. I mean Santa Claus. 6:29 p.m., we questioned the guy who didn't believe in Santa Claus. Guy's named Grudge. Says here your name is Grudge, is that right?
Yeah.
Says here you don't believe in Santa Claus. Did you really say that?
Sure, I said it. How do you know there's a Santa Claus? You got a picture of him?
Nope, no mud shark.
Any fingerprints?
No latent prints. I just know, that's all. Like saying there's no Easter Bunny.
That's another guy that I ain't know of.
What's your story, mister?
Joe, he just said that to make me feel bad, didn't he? There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe?
Listen, Grudge, didn't I pick you up 3 years ago on a 1492, not believing in Columbus?
Yeah, and I don't believe in Cleveland or Cincinnati either.
What about Toledo?
I ain't made up my mind about Toledo.
Okay, mister, I get the picture now. You don't believe in nothing, do you?
Nothing. And you want to know something else?
What's that?
I'm going to get up and walk right out of this room, because you guys ain't got nothing on me. There ain't no law against not believing in Santa Claus.
There is in my book. Let me tell you something, mister. I've got to prove to you there's a Santa Claus if it takes me all night.
Pretty funny. The police department's got nothing better to do.
Let me straighten you out, buddy. This one's on Frank and me. Right, Frank? Right, Frank?
There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe? You know, hippity-hopping down the bunny trail?
I took Grudge over to the helicopter, got in, flew around the city for hours. I showed him department stores. What's hurrying in and out of these department stores, Grudge?
Happy people, but I ain't impressed.
I showed him stockings. How are those stockings hung, Grudge?
By the chimney with care. But I didn't hang none up.
I showed them children all nestled and snug in their beds. What's dancing in their heads, Grudge?
Visions of sugar plums. But you ain't selling me. There ain't no Santa Claus.
He still didn't believe. There's only one thing left to do. My job, get to the North Pole. I set the plane down. We walked over to Sandy's workshop, rang the bell. Pardon me, sir. Can I ask you a few questions?
Why, sure. Just tickle me to death.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a brownie.
What are you doing in the North Pole with a southern accent?
Well, the boss sort of ran short of help this year, so he had to recruit a few of us brownies from the South Pole.
Uh-huh, that figures.
What a waste of time.
Could we talk to your boss, please?
Oh, he's out. You would have to come on the one night he's out on the whole year.
What's your particular job, Mr. Brownie?
My boss has 8 tiny reindeer. My job, feed them.
Yes, sir. What do you feed them?
Well, most times I fix up a little plate of relish, olives, pickles, and them little carrot sticks. You know them little old carrot sticks?
Uh-huh.
And scallions.
Most people call them scallions. Green onions, but they're really,
really
scallions.
How do you know?
Just a stab in the dark. The little man showed us through the workshop.
Well, my boss will be back for a second load pretty soon. Say, yes. Would you all like to hear an interesting story?
Yes, sir.
Do you see that huge pile of presents over there?
Uh-huh.
Man, look at all that stuff.
Would you believe it? They're all for the same man. Been piling up here year after year.
Why didn't the guy ever get them?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't believe in my boss. You know the rules.
Uh-huh, we know.
I don't suppose that there's no chance that this guy could
again
still
get the presents? Oh, sure, he gets them all the minute he believes. But I don't suppose he ever will.
Too bad about that guy. What's his name?
Don't say it. I don't want to hear it.
Come on, Mr. Brownie. What's his name?
His name? Grudge.
The Brownie saw us to the door, wished us a Merry Christmas. We were heading back in the plane when it happened.
Hey.
Yeah, Grudge?
You know that guy I said I don't believe in?
Who's that?
Santa Claus.
Yes, sir.
You think I'm too old to change my mind?
You're never too old, Mr. Grudge.
Well, then, I believe in Santa Claus and Columbus.
How about Cincinnati and Cleveland and the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, them too.
And Toledo?
I still haven't made up my mind about Toledo.
Look, Grudge, up in the sky, he's coming back for the second load.
It's Santa Claus! It's Santa Claus!
There's the only guy I know who can make everybody happy in one night.
Yeah, he must have the biggest heart in the whole world.
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
And now, it's time to hear the musical sounds of the Dixie Dudes as they play Winter Wonderland, featuring guest artists Mr. Tom O'Brien.
Take it away. bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. You can sing here. Hey, is the dewbird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we will build a snowman. And we'll pretend that he is Parson Brown. Ask him if we're married, he'll say no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to share unafraid the plans that we made. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Special guest host today, Joey Van Hulley. Joey, how did you ever get started in doing impressions?
Well, when I was a little boy, my mom would send me to the movies at least twice a week. Not for punishment, but it was a great babysitter. Because for 25 cents, you could see 2 feature films, 6 cartoons, a newsreel, and a cereal, all for 25 cents, and a box of popcorn. Now, I always wanted to be those people I saw on the screen, so much so that when I went home, I started doing the voices. Matter of fact, when I started singing, I couldn't get these voices in the way. They just, well, I'll show you what I mean. I've got them under my skin. Top of the world, my, top of the world. I've got them deep within sight of me. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. So deep, they're simply a part of me. It's alive, Igor. I've got them under my skin. Woof, even Lassie and the politicians. I would try not to give in. Will Mr. Gorbachev tear down that wall? I said to myself, this affair never could end so well. I come from Texas, second largest state. How I know so well. Talked about change. If you change the hope, then you'd hope for change. I mean, even the Rat Pack got under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near. In spite of that voice that comes to the night and repeats in my ear, don't you know, oh yeah, you'll never go in. Use your tally, wake up to reality.
But each time I do, just that thought of you makes me lady.
Hey Sam, how'd that guy get in our pack? I've got you, I have no idea, man. I've got you, I've got you under my skin. And I really mean that, man. Really mean that.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. Now let's welcome back. Let's welcome back with a wonderful, wonderful Christmas song. Frosty the Snowman. Here's Bill's little big band once again with Tom O'Brien.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose, lips made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. When they put it on his head, began to dance around. So Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play the same as you and me. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, watch him Frosty go. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, over the hills and snow.
Was Bill's Little Big Band playing Frosty the Snowman. And now, our Miss Brooks. Well, with the holidays so close at hand, our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, is faced with a few problems common to many of us. First, she still has all her shopping to do. And second, she has very little time to do it in.
And third, she has no money to do it with. Well, at least I have very little money, $20 to be exact. And considering the people I usually give presents to, I knew that wouldn't go very far. After thinking it over for a while, however, I arrived at the only possible solution to my dilemma, which I conveyed to my landlady at breakfast last Wednesday morning.
Then you're going to spend the entire $20 on a gift for Mr. Boynton, Connie?
Yes, it's the only thing I can do, Mrs. Davis. I think I should be able to get him a nice gift for $20.
Well, I suppose so, dear. I know I certainly didn't expect anything from you.
Well, I'm glad you weren't expecting anything special, or actually anything at all.
After all, what difference does it make that I cook your meals all year round? I do it out of the goodness of my heart. And I certainly don't expect anything in return.
But Mrs. Davis, we agreed we wouldn't exchange presents this year.
Of course we did, Connie. So you stick to our agreement. After all, what difference does it make if I happen to forget and order you a beautiful gift?
You ordered me a gift?
Oh, dear, it slipped out.
Well, slip it back in.
What difference does it make that I far exceeded my budget to get it for you just because the spirit of the season has swept me away? Doesn't mean it has to sweep you, too.
Sweep me? I might as well clean me out. Well, I suppose I actually should give you a gift, too, since we're so close.
Now, dear, you'll do no such thing. Don't give it another thought. Not one more thought.
Well, all right. But then who's counting anyway?
I can count on perfectly well squeezing oranges by hand for another year. just because I can hardly straighten out my poor fingers when I'm through is no concern of yours.
Then you want a finger straightener. I mean an orange juice squeezer.
Why, Connie, how did you know?
It was just a wild guess.
But the $10 they want at Madison Gifts is much more than I'll let you spend.
Well, then I won't.
So plan. You'll just give me $7 cash. I'll get the squeezer and McGinty's. I happen to have an exclusive introductory card there. It's the only thing that will let you in, and it entitles you to a third off on everything.
As I say, I should be able to get Mr. Boynton a nice gift for $13. I'll give you the money as soon as I get my bag.
Thanks, dear. Now I'll tell you what I got for you. It's something I felt was very personal.
Something personal?
What is it? A chess set.
A chess set?
Yes, dear. I know how Mr. Boynton loves the game, and it will give you two something to do together on those long winter evenings.
It was very thoughtful of you, Mrs. Davis. Oh, there's Walter to drive me to school. Be right out, Walter. I'd better be going, Mrs. Davis.
All right, dear. I'll drop off your present at school. Maybe you and Mr. Boynton can use it in the cafeteria at lunch.
We might at that. Those chess pieces ought to be a lot tastier than the rest of the food. Walter, is it my imagination? Are you driving more carefully today?
Well, I was hoping you'd notice, dear teacher of mine. And yes, I'm driving particularly careful today. You see, as part of my Christmas present, my mother gave me new bumpers for this car.
What happened? Pedestrians finally wear out your old ones? Well, that was a thoughtful gift, but isn't it a little early to be receiving Christmas presents?
Oh, no, ma'am. No, indeed. I must have received 3/4 of my gifts already, particularly from my close friends at school. Matter of fact, I can think of only one or two that haven't.
Matter of fact, I think I'll get out and walk.
You know, Miss Brooks, of course, a kid like me who operates on a limited budget can only exchange gifts with his nearest relatives and his closest and more intimate friends. Isn't that so, Miss Brooks?
It certainly is, stranger. But the truth of the matter is, I only have $13 for my Christmas shopping. That leaves me with just enough money for a gift for Mr. Boynton. Now do you understand?
Well, I guess I do. Well, I certainly didn't expect anything from you, Miss Brooks.
I'm glad to hear those words from you, especially since I don't
So
have...
after all, what difference does it make that I pick you up and drive you to school every day, all year round? Or that I spend half my time at school running errands for you? You do whatever you want to, Miss Brooks. But no one else is going to receive the beautiful present that I selected for you.
You bought me a present already?
Now, please forget all about it, will you?
All right, then.
After all, I'm getting enough gifts without that $7 briefcase at the Cornerstone that I've wanted more than anything else in the world.
Walter, I'd like to buy the briefcase for you, but $7 is rather high.
Oh, much too high, Miss Brooks. So I wouldn't let you spend that much money for anything.
Good.
So, if you give me $5 in cash, I'll get the same thing at McGinty's.
As I say, $8 ought to buy a fine gift for Mr. Boynton.
I have an exclusive introductory credit card at McGinty's. Everything at a third off. It's the only card that'll let you in.
At the moment, that isn't what worries me.
No? Well, then what does, Miss Brooks?
Does McGinty's print a card that will let me out? Walter, there's no reason to sneak past Mr. Conklin's office, even if we are 5 minutes late.
But, Miss Brooks, you know how Mr. Conklin feels about such things. Why would you say if he did suddenly step out of his office?
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Does that answer your question, Walter? Oh, Mr. Conklin, I realize we're a little late, sir, but if you'll only cut us a bit of slack today.
Now, my dear, don't give it a second thought. I'm delighted to give my students and faculty here at Madison High a little latitude this time of year. I mean, it is the holiday season.
Yes, you are correct, kind sir.
Miss Brooks, will you kindly come into my office, please? I have something to ask you.
But, sir, I'm 5 minutes late now. I need
And you'll be 5 minutes later. Into my office, please.
Yes, sir. See you later, Walter.
Yeah. Bye, Miss Brooks.
Now, please sit down and I'll get directly to the point. I want some advice from you, Miss Brooks.
Some advice from me?
Yes, about a gift. I'm doing my Christmas shopping this afternoon. I want you to be sure to tell me what you want before I leave.
But, sir, I didn't think you approved of faculty members exchanging gifts.
Oh, I don't, Miss Brooks. It's just that I happen to be in the spirit of giving. Of course, if my teachers insist on showing their appreciation for the many little favors I've done for them in the past, why, I'm powerless to stop them.
I'm hooked. I was wondering what I could get you for Christmas, sir. Could you please give me a suggestion, something you particularly needed or wanted for about 50 cents?
My dear, I want you to forget even the mention of the word gifts this morning. Dismiss it from your mind. Besides, I have been reading far too many detective novels.
Detective novels?
Yes, and $10 is far too much for anyone to pay for that new Agatha Christie novel that just came out.
Well, sir, I'd certainly like to get it for you, but that is rather expensive for a paperback book.
Oh, $10 is far, far too expensive. I wouldn't dream of letting you spend that much money. Paperback?
Hardcover? However, you are correct. That is a lot of money.
Although I know just where you can get it for $7.
Captured and Detected Again by McGinty's.
Here we are, Miss Brooks. My dessert and coffee, and I brought you a piece of apple pie a la mode.
Why, Mr. Boynton, what a thoughtful Christmas present.
Christmas present?
Why, it's exactly what I've always wanted. You shouldn't have gotten all that extra expense.
Well, what extra expense?
The apple pie would have been enough. You should have kept the a la mode for my birthday. Apple pie a la mode. As I always say, Mr. Boynton, let the other women get their mink coats and pearl necklaces. Just give me a gift that touches you right in the stomach, a heart.
Oh, I get it now. You're joking.
I was afraid you'd see it that way. But, Mr. Boynton, this actually would be enough. After all, it's the spirit of giving that counts rather than the gift itself.
Well, not entirely, Miss Brooks. True, the spirit must be there. But the gift is important, too. I've ordered you a beautiful gift.
It's very thoughtful of you, Mr. Boynton. Very thoughtful.
Miss Brooks, I've just been thinking.
I hope you've been thinking what I think you've been thinking. Yes, Mr. Boynton?
Well, after all, it is really the spirit of giving that counts rather than the gift itself.
You've convinced me. Here, this package is for you, and Merry Christmas.
For me? You got this for me? Must I wait until Christmas, or may I open it now? What's inside, Miss Brooks?
Yes, 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 no. Can't tell you.
Well, I fully understand. About having to wait. Well, hello, Harriet.
Mr. Boynton, Daddy wants to see you in his office right away. Something about signing a requisition for his test tubes you wanted.
Oh, well, thank you, Harriet. I'll go right now.
And Miss Brooks, your landlady called, and she wants you to call back when you can. Now, let's see, is there someone else I've forgotten?
Better look under the table to make sure. Did Mrs. Davis say what she wanted me to call her about?
No, but she said she'd keep the receiver off the hook so her party line would be open when you called.
There's something wrong with that, but offhand I don't know just what at this very moment.
I'll walk to the phone with you, Miss Brooks.
All right, Harriet. Well, how has Santa been treating you so far, dear?
Oh, not too badly. Walter gave me a bracelet, but I don't think I'll wear it.
Why not?
You should see what he had engraved on it. Finder, please return this girl to Walter Denton.
Why, I think that's cute, Harriet. If a certain party gave me one of those bracelets, I think I might enjoy getting lost. Now, excuse me, dear, while I make this call.
Okay, bye, Miss Brooks.
Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Davis. This is Connie.
Oh, Connie. Well, how did you like the gift I gave you?
Oh, it's lovely, Mrs. Davis. Simply lovely.
I knew you'd love that. Black silk negligee.
Well, certainly. It's something that Mr. Boynton and I can... Black silk negligee? Oh, no.
I did say it was a chess set, Connie. Just to throw you off the track.
And you did. Right into the path of a screaming locomotive.
Miss Brooks, are you okay?
Why do you ask, Walter?
Walter's right, Miss Brooks. You do look a bit pale.
Kids, I may look pale, but wait until Mr. Boynton realizes that the gift I gave him was not a chess set.
What was it, Miss Brooks?
Yes, Miss Brooks, please tell us.
Let's just say that when Mr. Boynton tries to start with the king's pawn opening move, he'll finish it by saying, I'm running to McGinty's right now with this black negligee, so stay out of my way.
Kathy Zulke here again, and I have to honor to introduce a man who grew up on the east side of New York City and was a member of the Pee Wee Quartet. They were singing on ferry boats, in saloons, and on street corners. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. George Burns.
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful day it is here at Lake Lawn Resort on Delavan Lake. Ah, yes. Singing on the street corners with a quartet. Why, we put our hats down for donations. Sometimes the customers threw something from the hats. Sometimes they took something out of the hats. Sometimes they even took the hats. But anyway, as Gracie always used to say, George, it's time to move the show along. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Phyllis Diller.
Well, thank you, George. It is great to be back here at Lake Lawn, especially with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Phyllis. Listen, I want to ask you a question.
Anything, George. Ask me anything.
Is that a wig you're wearing?
Now, George, what a crazy question.
Well, is it?
Well, let me tell you something. I bleached my hair for so many years when I decided I had to be theatrical. You're on stage, for goodness sakes, woman. Don't look like the woman next door, especially me. I have to look theatrical.
You have to look theatrical. How do you get your hair to stand straight up like that?
You see, I had very short hair, so I was told to use a curry comb. They said to lean over and use that special comb. Well, I leaned over and combed my hair between interviews, and I'd be on television, you know, and my hair was standing straight up.
Oh, isn't that a comb used for horses?
Well, actually, yes. Well, it's made completely out of rubber, and it's used to remove dead hair from the coat of a horse. Or, in my case, from my scalp, especially when used in a brisk circular motion.
By the way, Phyllis, I love your whinny sound. I love your whinny sound. It's very authentic.
Well, George, you know me. I always love to horse around when I'm on the stage with you.
Phyllis, I want to ask you this other question.
Well, about my beautiful clothes.
No, actually, why do you always laugh at your own jokes? I mean, Gracie never laughed at her joke.
Well, you see, first it was nerves. I laughed because I was very nervous, and probably subconsciously I was showing the audience, here's where you're supposed to laugh.
I'm supposed to laugh. You know something? I love talking with you. I know we could do this for hours, but our director, Renee, has given us the wrap-it-up sign.
No, George, I understand. I understand. Besides, I have to get to the beauty parlor. And when I go to the beauty parlor, one thing I always make sure I do, I always use the emergency entrance. Ha! Now, George, before I leave, I have one question for you. Mm-hmm. Why do you always have that cigar when you're on stage?
Well, Phyllis, I use a cigar for timing purposes. If I tell a joke, I smoke as long as they laugh. When they stop laughing, I take the cigar out of my mouth and start my next joke. If that joke doesn't work, I get a new cigar. Well, say goodnight, Phyllis.
Good night, Phyllis.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's a popular song sung by 12 stars of yesterday and today.
On the first day of Christmas, my 12 gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. I don't mean to bother you. You got a minute? This won't take long. On my second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 2 turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the third day of Christmas, my ex-wives gave to me 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my Judy gave to me 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear twig. On the 6th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 geese a laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear twig. On the 7th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 swans to sing, 6 geese a laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear twig. On the 8th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, you know what I mean? No respect, you know. 8 maids in milk, 7 swans to sing, 6 geese a laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear twig. On the 9th day of Christmas, my Sandy gave to me 9 ladies dancing, I tell you, 8 maids of milk, 7 swans to sing, 6 geese a laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear twig. Yo, on the 10th day of Christmas, you know, my true love gave to me 10 lords of leaving, landladies dance, I tell you, 8 maids of muck, 7 swans to sing, 6 geese of light, 5 golden ring, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear twig. Listen to me, on the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping, yo, 10 lords of leaving, 9 ladies dance, I tell you, 8 maids of muck, 7 swans to sing, 6 geese of light, 5 golden ring, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear twig. On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me more cowbell. 12 drummers drum, listen, 11 pipers piping, lords of leaping, 11 ladies dance, I tell you, 8 major mouth, 7 swans of sea, 6 gates of land, 5 golden ring, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a waskaway twig.
On a hot summer day back in 1945, singer and songwriter Mel Torme, along with lyricist Bob Wells, wrote one of the best-known holiday songs of all times. Listen now to Joey Vann's rendition as 3 great stars sing The Christmas Song.
Chestnuts roasting on the open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and a mistletoe help to keep the spirits bright. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir will find it hard to sleep tonight. You know that Santa's on his way with lots of toys and candy in his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna sigh to see if reindeers know how to fly. And so I'm offering a special phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Our stars from the 91.1 Players are Vicki Dumais as Phyllis Diller, Christmas Dragnet, Larry Rowe, Brett Hodek, Mike Bovito, and Renee Bouchelle. Our Miss Brooks, Susan Lean, Todd Eves, Naomi Wiseman-Zobler, Brett Hodek, Natalie Lavoie.
Music was provided by Bill's Little Big Band and the Dixie Dudes, all under the direction of Mr. Bill McGee. Live sound effects were created by Michael Alshup. Our sound engineer was Chuck Janzer. Our radio engineer was David Janzer. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aaliyah, Dumais, and McTernan. On the web at addmlaw.com. And from the Brown Alshup Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem Lakes, Wisconsin, on the web at brownalshupfoundation.org. And finally, from Lake Lawn Resort, located right here in Delavan, Wisconsin,
on the web at lakelawn.com. And the 91.1 Players, I'm Kathy Zulke.
And I'm Art Dexter. Thank you so much for listening to our annual holiday extravaganza show.
February 1st at 11:15 a.m. when we begin our 16th season for WGTD Radio Theater. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.